Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Thank you very much. Yeah. How many of you know there's an awakening happening? There's a spiritual awakening happening in America right now. It actually started 2 years ago with the Asbury Revival, and it spread to 100 colleges. And this year, especially since the killing of Charlie Kirk, is exploding on college campuses. People getting baptized, people getting filled with the Spirit. So it really is happening. In the Northeast here, I know it's different. It's a little bit, when we see the Ivy Leagues on fire, we will know it's completely here. And so last night as I was driving through Cornell, I was praying in tongues over the campus, and I have a love for that place. My parents went there and met at a Methodist prayer meeting that was connected with Cornell, so it's very special in my heart. And there is going to be revival at Cornell. Can you give the Lord a praise for that? We believe it. I love the theme that you guys are doing for December. Home for Christmas. And, you know, actually, I preached a message 2 weeks ago that had to do with that, so I didn't even have to change my message today. It, like, fit right in. I know that the main theme of it you're using is John 1:14. And so he, Jesus, the living expression, became a man and lived amongst us. And we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father with tender mercy and truth. What a great text. So I'm not going to use that text. I'm not going to steal the thunder for the rest of the month. But that is an amazing text. And really, it has to do with you becoming a Christian. That's really the definition of a Christian, is when Jesus and the Holy Spirit come to dwell inside of you. And religion doesn't do that. You know, I was christened at 2 weeks old, and in the Methodist Church, and then at 12, I became confirmed, which means that you declare everything right about Jesus, and you ask that you could now live like Jesus. But you know what that does? It sets you up for a lot of spiritual conflict in your life, because now you're trying to live like Jesus, but you don't have Jesus, and you don't have the Holy Spirit inside. So it becomes, you become a full of struggle. And that's what, for the next 7 years, that's what happened to me, trying to live like Jesus without being born again. But then on Thanksgiving 1972, I did get born again in Monroe, New York, at a Catholic convent. A nun asked me to ask Jesus into my heart, and I did that, and it was real. The thing that you know about when you're born again, when you know the Holy Spirit really comes in, is because now you become alive to spiritual things. You couldn't see it before. And all of a sudden now I knew I had eternal life. And God began to be real to me. And in the church growing up, they said there was no hell, there was no devil, there was no demons. But then all of a sudden I found out they were real too. So all kinds of things begin to happen to you when that the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in you. And my first Christmas as a Christian, how many of you remember that? Like, it's different. It's totally different because now Christmas is inside of you. And becomes very real. So our Christmases were always in Bovina, New York, and in the Catskills at my grandmother's house. And so my first Christmas here was very dramatic. It was a Charles Dickens Christmas. It really was, you know, the Christmas carol. And it became very real to me. So here I am, Christmas Eve. I'm up in the bedroom, and I'm thinking about, for the first time, it's real to me. Like, and I'm picturing Bethlehem, I'm picturing Jesus there, and just the angels, and the whole thing is just very real to me, seeing the baby Jesus, and all of a sudden, a dark figure walks in the room, and sucks all the life out of the room, and I realize there's a demon that's just walked into the room, and I didn't even believe in demons. Like, what are you? But I was pretty scared, began to tremble. And the demon was trying to kill the Jesus in my head. And I was scared. But all of a sudden, I said, Jesus. And he, poof, disappeared. You know, and I realized there's power in that name. The next, so I was figuring, what in the world? I don't even believe in demons. What in the world? So in the next morning, though, was amazing, just like the Christmas Carol, just like with Scrooge, like a whole, you know, my Scrooge was now gone, and now I'm full of love and grace, and the sun's coming up, and I'm just feeling glowing all over the place, and I'm in love with everybody. And my mom says, go down the store and get something for the meal today. So I'm walking downtown Bovina Center, New York, and I'm in love with everybody. And I actually wanted to kiss everybody on the street. And I came very close to doing it, but I realized they might lock me up or something. But that's what happens when Jesus comes in. You start loving everybody. You don't even care. So very memorable first Christmas as, as a Christian. But my text is actually 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to talk about Zion, that Zion lives inside of us, because Zion is the place where heaven and earth mingle together. And you actually become a Zion when Jesus lives inside of you. You become a dwelling place, and you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a scripture that was very special to my mom, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. The one who joins himself to the Lord is mingled. I love that word, mingled, into one spirit with him. This is why you must keep running away from sexual immorality. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You no longer belong to yourself, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of your temple. Isn't that a great scripture? You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, and now you're mingled with heaven. And so that word mingled actually is the same as Zion, the place where heaven and earth mingled together. A couple other scriptures that talk about us inviting us into this place of him being a dwelling place. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is forever faithful, and he can be trusted to do all these things in you, for he has invited you to mingle in the life of his son Jesus, the anointed one. So there's an invitation. Whether you're a brand new Christian, whether you've been a Christian for 50 years like me, there's an invitation for more mingling to happen. There's more of God. You know, I think we just scratch the surface sometimes of realizing how much of God lives inside of us and how much is available to us. Same thing in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy, and each of you is invited to the feast of your heavenly calling. And that word invited actually talks about partnership and also talks about mingling together with God. So Zion is the place of mingling. So I'm going to share a few minutes about Zion in the literal sense. It's actually a mountain in Jerusalem. Did you all know that? How many of you have been to the real Mount Zion? Okay. It's an amazing place. I got to go this year. And it is a literal place. But then we're going to talk about the spiritual Zion, which is inside of you. So that's kind of cool, the journey we're going to take here. So there's, you know, they knew from the beginning there was a place that God wanted to be special for him to dwell. And the first time it was really revealed was when Moses crossed the Red Sea and they escaped from the Egyptians, and they came out the other side and escaped, and they began to sing and to dance, sort of like we did this morning, with tambourines and trumpets and everything else. And part of the song was, and you will bring us and plant us into the mountain of your inheritance. This is Exodus 15, 17. The place, O Lord, that you have made for your dwelling, the temple, O God, which your hands have established. So even as they were escaping out of Egypt, they were singing about a place they were going to go to that was a place where God was going to dwell. And then there was a guy named Joshua that actually brought them into the land of milk and honey, and they actually began to take the land that God had given to them. It's called Israel. It's a very special place. And the Jews have come back to Israel. So, but Joshua actually came and took the land. that God had already given to Abraham. And one of the most fierce fights was for a city called Jerusalem. And the king of Jerusalem came out of the Jebusites and took a great stand against them, but yet they were able to take Jerusalem. And then many years later, though, the key mystery of Zion was revealed to a guy named David. He was a little scrawny kid that stayed with the sheep out in the fields, but God did something special with him because he loved God and he wanted to be a dwelling place with God. And I believe that God gave David some revelation that was way before his time. And he actually went into heavenly places and saw things. And of course, the Psalms reflect that. But when David became king, he realized there was something very special about Jerusalem. And I think even at growing up in Bethlehem, tending the sheep, as he looked towards Jerusalem, God gave him revelation that this is the place where Abraham came. This is the place where Melchizedek welcomed him. And this was the place where Isaac was offered on Mount Zion. And so something God was beginning to show David, there's something very special about Zion, and it was a place that God was to dwell. And so came a time in David's life where he was going to capture the city of Zion. And he actually said, the people that were there, the Jebusites, said, David, you are not coming in here. You are not going to be here. And they knew the destiny that was there. But yet it says that David took the city. Have you ever wanted something in your life that was like your inheritance and the devil saying, you're not coming in here. You're not going to take this, And that's usually the way it is. Salvation is free, but for our maturity in Christ, there is a battle for that because the enemy does not want you having that dwelling and that, day-to-day experience of having Jesus walking inside of you. And so that's where the fight is. And, when we were doing a revival meeting in New York City, that's a major place. And as we were contemplating going in and praying at seven places in Lower Manhattan, I heard this voice saying, who do you think you are? Why are you coming here? Why do you think, you're going to do this? Who do you think you are? And I didn't, it was kind of shocking. But then all of a sudden, while I'd already been thinking, I said, I'm David and I'm coming in. I just heard myself saying that. And I knew that it was like the Holy Spirit just raising up and saying, God is greater and New York City does not belong to the devil. God has a plan for New York City. Amen. Do you believe that today? If you're here watching from New York City, we believe that. On August 2nd, there was an earthquake in New York City, and it actually shook Hell's Kitchen. And to me, that was a sign. Hell's Kitchen is being shaken by the power of God, and the Lord is moving. And so whatever destiny that you have, there's always a dragon at the entrance to your treasures. Just realize that. And God, that's part of why God even allows Satan to exist, is that he uses the things of darkness to actually make us stronger and for us to learn how to conquer the things of darkness. That's part of our maturing process. And so God makes us more than conquerors, and through Jesus, we learn how to be strong and to be victorious because Jesus overcame all the powers of darkness, and now he's giving us authority in the same way. And so Zion is the mountain of the Lord. It's the place that David set up, and then David brought the ark into Mount Zion, and the presence of God literally was in his backyard. He knew it wasn't in Gibeon, where King Saul had set up the temple. He knew that Zion was the place. And so he came and he took the ark and he put it in his backyard. And for 24/7, priests and ministers would sing and worship in his backyard. I had the opportunity to sub-teach in our high school up in Maine one day, and God set me up. Here I am walking into a history class at the high school, and we're studying Jerusalem that day. Wow. And so I just talked about David and Zion and the ark coming in. And I said, and the ark had a blue flame over it and a glow. And Mr. Brink, what was the blue flame? And I just said, it's the presence of God. And the whole room, the glory of God came down in that high school room. And we didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. But everybody felt it. And I said, so that's what it is. And that same presence of God can be in your life. So anyway, that was a cool time. You know, how many of you know, if God is dwelling in you, he goes with you wherever you go. So whether it's Dunkin' Donuts or wherever you are in public school or whatever, the Holy Spirit can touch other people's lives. And so part of that wisdom is learning how to allow the wind to blow through you into people's lives with love and with wisdom so that their lives can be touched too. So Solomon built a temple there. Herod built a temple there. But when Herod built the temple, there was no ark there. There was no glory there. And so guess what? The glory returned to the temple on Zion when a 12-year-old boy at his bar mitzvah came and asked the priests and answered the questions that the priests were making. The Messiah, Yeshua, brought the glory into the temple. Why? Because he was the glory. He was the ark. And he was teaching us that we can be the ark too. I found this out very clearly in my journey to Istanbul a few years ago. It was pretty neat. I had an assignment. How many of you know you can get assignments from God? He can talk to you and say, today you're going to do this, this, and this. And you don't have to really understand it. You just have to obey and do what he tells you to do. So I'm in Istanbul with Georgian, and the Lord was giving me a prayer assignment for Istanbul. And the Lord was going to send me into the Blue Mosque, the Muslim mosque, to pray, and also to go to a few of the other places, and also out to overlook the city. So I told George, and I said, I got an assignment today. I'm going to go into the mosque, and then I'm going to go over to, Hagia Sophia, prayer there. And he said, okay, I'll give you my blessing. Go and get killed if you want to. That was his blessing. So I said, I don't know. So anyway, I'll have to use wisdom on that one. So anyways, I went in the Blue Mosque, and I just kind of sat in the middle of the worshipers, and I prayed in tongues the entire time as I'm, in the Blue Mosque there, and I'm saying, God, save all these people. Like, open their eyes to who Jesus really is, And then I go over to Hagia Sophia, do some prayer over there, and then the Lord gives me a scripture, Isaiah 66, because I'm in the biggest, temple, cathedral in medieval times. And it's this: heaven and earth is my throne, the foot is my footstool. Who can build a house for me? In other words, there's no building on earth that can really be a decent dwelling place for God. So God is saying, you know what I really want for a dwelling place? This is where I long to dwell, in those that walk humbly before me and tremble at my word. That's where I'm looking. I'm looking for some people that'll be honor me and reverence me and honor me in such a way that they'll want me to come in and live there, not just for, a few days a week, but to be a 24/7 dwelling place. That's God's heart, for us to be a place that he can be pleased with us, we can be pleased with him, and like hanging out, Yesterday I drove up 220, which is a cool way through the wilderness up from Harrisburg. And it was so cool because I was driving with Jesus and we were having this cool conversations. I was actually surprised what he was excited about. It was a little bit different than some things but together we were enjoying the trees, we're enjoying all these different things. And it's so cool to have a dwelling place with the Lord of the universe. It really is. And Jesus, the night before he was born, or the night before he died, rather, he said to them, it's actually good that I'm going away. Why are you going away? How do we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But I'm going away, and it's actually better that I go away, because I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And not only is he going to visit you, but he's going to live inside of you. 24/7, he'll be with you and dwelling inside of you and making his home in you. You see, in Noah, when God changed the whole earth, Noah had a dove, which represented the Holy Spirit. And after the rain stopped, he sent the dove out, and the dove came right back. That kind of represents the early days on earth here, where the Holy Spirit would just come and go and brood over the waters and then go back to heaven. The second time the dove was sent out, it actually brought back an olive branch. That actually represents Israel. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon the prophets, would come upon the kings, would come upon different ones and anoint them, and the Holy Spirit would come upon them, but then it would fly back to heaven again. The third time the dove was sent out, the dove didn't return. You know what that symbolizes? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the 120 in the upper room and then in the streets of Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit's never left since then. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Isn't that great that he's never left? And so it is with us. When we ask Jesus in our hearts, the Holy Spirit comes in, gives us the eternal life, and he's never going to leave. He's going to be with us forever. And, you know, it's just such a wonderful thing. So let me ask you a question today. The main gist of what I'm preaching. How much of the Holy Spirit do you want? How much of Jesus do you want? How much of him dwelling in you do you want? Let me just tell you this, that there's no limit to what you can have. I think many times it's just how hungry, how thirsty are you? And sometimes hard times actually bring about a more thirst and a more hunger and a more filling and dwelling in your lives. That's why James said, count it all joy when you go through trials, because it brings about a purity like gold of your faith. Now, at the time, it doesn't feel that way. But just realize this, whenever you go through hard times, it's actually an opportunity for you to enlarge your capacity for carrying more of the Holy Spirit. Enlarge your capacity to let more flow through you to other people. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. In fact, I'm thirsty right now. Okay. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Ah, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, there was a guy that stretched the limits. His name was Enoch. And it says he walked with God. Yeah, he broke the limits. And it says when that word walked in the Hebrew actually means like a flowing river, you are pleasing God. God is so pleased. You know, how many of you love God's presence? And that's why you're here this morning. You love the presence of God. You love the Holy Spirit being here. But guess what? God loves your presence. I never thought about it that way. He really loves it when we just take and get alone with him and just start talking to him and having that intimacy in our lives. It's such an amazing thing. It says that Enoch walked with God and he pleased God and he was not. He was swallowed up by God. God was so enjoying Enoch that he ate him. That's the only thing I can explain. Like they just got mingled together. So I don't know. That's quite a thing, to think that God could actually become so pleased with somebody that they would just rapture them off the earth. People ask me, do you believe in a rapture? And I said, yeah, I do. I get raptured every day. Like, I am just so caught up with the Lord every day that, we feel raptured. You know, that term, people don't understand what that term really means. A friend of mine had a bumper sticker. It said, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. And the police stopped her. And, lady, are you in love with somebody and you're going to disappear? Yeah, exactly. So we all can get raptured every day. I want to challenge you with that. Get raptured every day with the Lord. Get caught up with him. And that's really what, I'm going to read that verse again that we started with, just to think about it one more time, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So this Christmas, make him home for Christmas. 1 Corinthians 6 again. But the one who is mingled or joined himself to the Lord is mingled into one spirit with him. Have you not forgotten that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that lives in you? You don't belong to yourself anymore, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of your body. Wow. Great scripture. Great time. I'm just going to leave with this thought, and I'm going to have them play in a minute just a song, Fresh Wind, by Hillsongs, because there's always more of the Holy Spirit. You can't have enough of the Holy Spirit, and you can be refilled every single day with the Holy Spirit. You can always get more. This dwelling place, there was another place called Bethel, which was called the dwelling place of God. And there was a guy named Jacob who was running for his life. You ever feel like you're running for your life, like in a desperate place? King David, if you read the Psalms, some of those Psalms were literally written when he was running for his life. And that's why there's such a deep calling on the deep in those Psalms. But Jacob was running for his life, and he came to a place, a very special place, and he knew the place was because his grandfather had built an altar there. Abraham had literally gone to Bethel and built an altar with stones. And as Jacob went there, he was tired, and he took one of the stones that his grandfather had put there, and he laid down, and he made it his pillow. So here he is resting on the generations of dwelling with God. He was laying his head on it. And during the night, he had this dream of this ladder, this stairway going up into heaven, and angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And he woke up and he said, how awesome is this place? This is the dwelling place of God. And he was so amazed at that. But he had actually connected with the prayers of his grandfather. So think about this. Jesus is looking for places to lay his head. Maybe you're the stone that he's going to lay his head on. You know, Jesus at one time said, foxes have their dens, birds have their nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What are nests for? What are dens for? They're homes. They're homes where you can raise families, and there's peace there. And you can actually have children there. Well, guess what? Today, Jesus is still looking for places to rest his head. And if he's looking for people that he can rest his head on and actually have more sons and daughters, are you going to be one of those today that he can dwell with, that he can be friends with, that he can be intimate with, and he can actually birth himself to other people through you? That's what he died for. He died so that he could have some friends, some sons and daughters. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you today that you don't want to just save us, deliver us, heal us, but you literally want us to be sons and daughters, dwelling places, even friends that are intimate with you, who you can dwell with and live through and birth other sons and daughters. God, we thank you for that challenge today. I've been walking with you for 50 years, and I just realized I'm still scratching the surface as to what you want to do in my life, through me and to me. And so, Lord, today, touch your people here. Touch the ones that are hungry and thirsty, and bring them to a place, God, where they just want so much more. They're hungry for more, thirsty for more. Because you said, if you hunger and thirst after me, I'll make you have rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. Thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.